There's a popular idea circulating in today's society, and even within the Christian world, I would say, this idea has become common belief, though it has no support in Scripture or in church teaching. It's the idea that happiness comes from doing what we want. It stems from us being able to control our lives and to do it as we like when we want to. In Christianity, it takes a little different form, but it's no less of an error. The idea presents itself in this way. It says, if we have faith in Jesus, then we won't have to suffer. We won't have to experience trials. Everything will be easy and all will be smooth for us. This kind of Christianity is similar to what you maybe heard called the prosperity gospel, which basically boils down to the belief that if I'm faithful to coming to church, especially if I'm faithful to giving money to the church, then this life, all my endeavors, I will find success there. All my desires will be satisfied. All my troubles will go away. Why has this become popular? Well, it's attractive, isn't it? If that's how it works, that'd be great. It's another subtle way for us to have control in our lives, isn't it? If this were in fact true, then Christianity would be a fairly easy way to live. It's a religion for people who think that it's their right to avoid all suffering and trials. When trials and suffering come, as they inevitably will and do, proponents of this type of what I would call fake Christianity will see that their worlds fall apart. And in frustration, they will either give up on Christianity, they'll go away from it, or they must admit that they clung to a mere shadow of what Christ calls us to. The idea that we will suffer and that each one of us will undergo trials in this life is not one that a lot of people are excited to accept. Instead, we'd rather believe that we can control and avoid all suffering. It's tempting to reject any aspect of Catholicism which leads us to discomfort, isn't it? Can you think of any beliefs, teachings, disciplines of the church that are inconvenient for you personally? I know I can. Anything you might be tempted to sweep under the rug. Here are just a few examples of situations. How about a young girl who isn't married and finds herself pregnant? Or how about the person who experiences same-sex attraction and realizes it's going to be a difficult thing to live chastely? How about the person who, or a couple even, who already have a bunch of kids and they're fearful of another pregnancy, maybe even for legitimate reasons? How about the father or mother who works on the weekends and they find it difficult to get time off to get to Mass? How about the couple who's engaged and are struggling to pay two rents, and rather than just moving in together, they continue to strive to do that? Or how about the parents who can't conceive a child? They want to have a family, but they're not able to conceive. These are real situations, aren't they? We probably all know somebody who struggles with at least one of these things. Maybe even ourselves at times have gone through them. Each of them presents a dilemma. Do we follow what Christ and His church asks us to do? Or for the sake of convenience, do we do what's easier? What requires less work? Do we take the path of least resistance and make what may seem at the time a small concession or a small compromise? When we are facing something that requires us to suffer or requires us to go through some trial, it is certainly easier in the short term to simply turn a blind eye. It's easier to plan to ask for forgiveness, isn't it? It's easier to reject Christ's teaching so that we can get what we want, what we prefer, what seems to promise us happiness or security. It's easier to go the route that seems to save us some embarrassment or some struggle. We can easily rationalize in our minds and our hearts. It's better to let go of some Catholic ideal rather than undergo a trial that will plague us for a long time or even perhaps our whole lives. This is often how we are tempted to approach these situations where our faith is inconvenient. But when we take the path which opposes Christ, we lose out on the grace that would be offered to us if we persevered in doing the hard thing if we enter the suffering of doing God's will, the very things that seem to crush us, seem to grind us, seem to make our lives miserable, can actually become the means by which God offers us salvation and brings us to salvation. The opportunity to be sanctified comes to us in the cross. This is always the case. It's always the case. Salvation comes through the cross, not by avoiding it. We don't need to create artificial crosses, of course. That's not what we're called to do. However, we must be careful not to justify a wrong action in order to avoid the cross. What would have happened if Jesus would have taken the convenient way out? Instead of enduring the cross for us, he could have avoided it. But to do so would have been to reject the instrument of our salvation. Was it tempting to take the easy way out even for Jesus? Listen to his words to Peter when Peter tells him to reject the agony of the cross. He says to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." These are pretty forceful words, aren't they? They're pretty strong words. Jesus speaks in this way because it is always a temptation to take the easy way out. It is always going to be a struggle to willingly suffer or undergo a trial when a small concession could save us from that suffering. But Jesus doesn't mince words when he says, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." The examples above are exactly the kind of thing which Christ is referring to as the cross. They're not some abstract thing. They are things that happen in our lives. These are the kind of things that make or break our relationship with Jesus. For us, it's not always easy to see how important these decisions are in a moment. We can easily justify ourselves. And then we begin to live a lie. We begin to live in this alternate world which we have created for ourselves, which actually opposes God's will. And the only way to turn back to the reality is to repent of any and all decisions which have turned us away from Christ and his will for us. When we turn away from the cross which Christ has offered us, then we've sinned. And we need to turn back to God and ask for his mercy. It's difficult. It's hard. It's hard to give up on worldly security, convenience, livelihood, or worldly happiness. But again, Jesus' words confront us. "For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life?" This challenges us to hold fast to Christ and his teachings rather than to pick and choose those which we might find convenient. On such choices and actions rests our eternal salvation, so it behooves us to meditate upon these truths at length. "For the Son of Man will come with his angels, and then he will repay all according to their conduct." We can't deny the clarity of what Christ tells us. The implications are very evident. If we choose to go our own way, if we reject the cross, if we make concessions for ourselves to avoid facing Christ's teachings, we put our salvation in danger. May the Lord grant us fortitude to face the cross and faith to believe it will save us. I'd like to conclude with St. Paul's words to us today. "Do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, pleasing, and perfect."